flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I want to start the show off with some fun, some laughs. I get what's going on in Warriorland. They'll take out the Sacramento Kings today, who are red hot under Doug Christie. 9-2 in 11 games under Doug Christie, and they're looking to light the beam tonight up in Sacramento. So we'll get that. We'll get to Kyle Draper at 7:30. Of course, you know who he is, Kings Pre and Post. And of course, Sacktown Sports Radio with our old friend, Whitey Gleason. Anthony Slater, 8:30. Of course, he's our 95.7 Game Insider, Warriors Insider for The Athletic. We'll get the latest on the Warriors. We get a perspective from the Kings, Warriors, and all that stuff. But we did have the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I'm not going to lie to you. As you say, good morning to everybody out there getting out their graveyard shift, overnight dancers, everybody out there, firefighters, cops, you know the drill. I was just driving around, took Chaz to get some ice cream. We had to go do some things for NBC. Went to go get me a cheesesteak. Shout out to Omar Metro Cafe. Got me a nice little cheesesteak. And I forgot the Baseball Hall of Fame. I forgot all about the announcement. Like, I didn't know the announcement was coming up. And I just look at my email. It's like, Ichiro, CC Sabathia, Bobby Wagner. Here's a Zoom link to talk to ask your questions. And I'm like, what is going on here? Wait, the Hall of Baseball Hall of Fame announcement was yesterday. So, hey, Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. And it is good because I don't even get outraged over it anymore. I don't like the whole time with Barry Bonds being on the ballot and guys like Roger Clemens being on the ballot and falling off the ballot. Sheffield. Sheffield. Like, he's not going to Hall of Fame. Gary Sheffield's not a Baseball Hall of Fame.
You ask people who pitched against him.
Right.
You see Gary Sheffield on deck and you're like, oh, God.
Billy Wagner, go ask him. Go ask him.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Sheffield, Hall of Famer? Yeah. Anyway, but I am happy for Ichiro, and I know we're going to get to him, but also the Bay Area's own, Vallejo's own, CC Sabathia, who had a spectacular career. It's great to see CC get his due.
Absolutely. And
he's going to join a Museum of Gods, man. That's really cool for CC.
You know, obviously, the modern way of playing baseball when it comes to starting pitching has diluted everything. You know, guys don't take the ball like they used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody who's playing, coaching, whatever, in a lot of these tournaments, there's something to be said for, you don't want anyone to get hurt, but there's something to be said for just being out there and being consistent for 15 years plus. I mean, this is a guy who pitched 17, 18 years in the bigs. And if you just look at his logs, like 33 starts, 33 starts, 30 starts, 30 starts, like over and over for almost 16 straight years.
Yeah.
You give your body to the sport and to your team, and someone like CC Sabathia, when I view him, it's the same thing with Ichiro. He's a guy that makes me smile. He's a guy that always, I felt, had fun while playing, and I thought that his joy came across on the television. And as a local guy, seeing all the like tweets yesterday from the Vallejo Little League circuit that was putting out pictures, I mean, how freaking cool is that?
He's done a lot for that region, that city. First Battle Hall of Famer, CC Sabathia.
It's crazy.
Wow. 6-time All-Star, World Series champion 09, Cy Young Award winner, ALCS MVP in 09, a 2-time MLB wins leader. He has over 3,000 strikeouts. He has 251 wins. Look, is he a First Battle Hall of Famer? I don't know. We could debate that if you want to, but he, to me, was a Hall of Famer. He was one of the better pitchers during his era, during his stretch. There's no doubt about that. So I'm happy he got into the Hall of Fame. And then there's a no-doubter with Ichiro Suzuki. I mean, no-brainer, right?
I think that he is like, there's a short list of foreign-born North American athletes who have an 100% approval rating when it comes to, like, the Q rating. Ichiro's at the top of the list. Does anyone have a negative thing to say about Ichiro Suzuki?
Nah, I don't think so.
The way I viewed him was another guy who loved the game of baseball, played it in such a unique way to the American audience in terms of I'm basically like running down the line right. as I'm slapping it. And when your name is next to Pete Rose in terms of consecutive 200 hit seasons, do you know how unbelievable that is? Pete Rose, it's like when anyone, and I saw this with Travis Kelce over the weekend, he's just surpassed Jerry Rice in terms of playoff numbers. And it's like, dude, you know how good you have to be to beat some of these video game numbers from Pete Rose? When you finish baseball paying almost 20 years and you have a 311 batting average, come on, man. A 311. He had 3,000 hits and...
He didn't get into the league till he was, what, 27 years old?
But
37 years old.
Apparently he had like 1,000 hits in the Japanese league he came from.
Yeah,
you're looking at a guy that legitimately had 4,000 or 5,000 hits in his baseball life.
He had 1,278 hits in Japan.
Come on.
3,089 in Major League Baseball, 311 batting average. The knock on him before he came was that, it's not going to work out. He's kind of a slap hitter. He's frail, yada, yada, yada. We heard the story about Lou Piniella saying, man, all this guy does is slap hit. What's going on? Ichiro hears it. He starts knocking him out the park. And then, of course, his game 8, game 9, whatever it was, but at the Oakland Coliseum, mm-hmm. where Terrence Long tried to run on him.
Oh, yeah.
And Ichiro threw him out from right field with a hose. And it was like, oh, boy. Pound for pound, this guy might be one of the best baseball players in the league right now. So that rookie season, and I remember my buddy George, who's living out there in Japan. He played Little League for Grattan Playground. I played for the Hawks out of Kemble Park, but we went to Hoover together, me, him, and Umair. And George was all about Ichiro when he first came out. Oh, we got this guy Ichiro, man. He was half Japanese. I'm like, George, dude, chill, dude. Like, we'll see. Relax. And he was right about him. Right away, he was like, yo, this guy Ichiro coming up from Japan, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, whatever. They need some marketing in Seattle, Nintendo founders or whatnot. No, he was ridiculous. And one of the more likable players we've seen in over the last 30, 40 years.
No question. And when I think about his style of play and, like, hit him where you ain't, like, it's something that you don't see a lot in today's modern day, where guys, go with the pitch. He's got more Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs in him in terms of his approach at the plate than he does the modern player. And I think that he played an intoxicating brand of baseball. He also stole a lot of bases.
Right.
People don't look at that.
509 bases.
Stole a lot of bases.
Speed.
He was just an absolute monster. And I always think of this, like, for a Seattle sports, when you lose Ken Griffey and Randy Johnson in a short period of time, who, to me, that is Mariner baseball. You know, like, Griffey and Randy Johnson, are you kidding me? And then he wears Randy Johnson's number and instantly becomes the face of that organization. Mm-hmm. There's a drill that he does. You're talking about his arm. Yep. I see it all over the internet. We do it at the end of practice. You put the bats upside down on the plate, so the barrel is sitting on the plate, and it looks like bowling pins. You get to the pitcher's mound, and you got to hit the bats with the ball, and it's like you're bowling. You get three strikes. I've seen this guy over and over and over in all these different videos. You want to talk about accuracy? I mean, he's knocking down all the pins, all the bats that are upright with one pitch. He's unbelievable. They said he could throw upper 90s to 100.
I believe it.
I believe it.
I'm just reading stories. I was reading all these stories last night about Ichiro. They were saying that fans from Japan were taking $2,000 baseball tours, sometimes flying in and out of the U.S. just to watch Ichiro play. Reporters, obviously. And we see it with Shohei Ohtani now with all the Japanese media in the building and the photographers giving media access. Well, Ichiro... coming off of Nomo, and who was it? Hideki Arabu with the New York Yankees.
Matsui,
of course, Godzilla. And Ichiro comes in, and he's a different type of player, right? Doesn't hit for power. Although, he did have one of the, probably the most electric play in All-Star memory here. Here it is, inside the park home run at Oracle Park.
Here's a shot into deep right field. Back at the wall. Ichiro hits it off the wall. It takes a weird carom, and Ichiro may circle the bases. In to score is Roberts. Here comes Ichiro. Inside the park home run.
Joe Buck got a call 2007. Ichiro stole the show there. Don't forget, Ichiro, one of the only players to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season.
Incredible.
I mean, it was incredible, right? I mean, Fred Lynn did it with the Red Sox. Ichiro's an all-timer. He's fun. Now you get to Billy Wagner, and he's, you know, I think of Billy Wagner. Do I think Hall of Fame? Probably not.
I thought he was really, really good.
Good for him.
But like you asked me a question. Was he ever the best? Because I think this is something like for Frank Gore is a great example. Like you can make the argument Frank was never the best running back at any given time in his tenure in the NFL. But that doesn't mean that he wasn't really good. But when I think of like the best closers in the game, it's like at that time, like before him, Lee Smith, right? When I think of closers back in the day, obviously Mariano Rivera, John Wetland for a period of time was Trevor the number Hoffman. One. John Franco was the number one for a minute there. Trevor Hoffman comes to mind. I don't necessarily go right to Billy Wagner. That being said, I always liked them. Lefty closers are unique. 5'10", 5'9", lefty closers are even more
solid.
Unique.
He was solid. I just don't.
400 saves is something.
It is something. I just don't think of Hall of Fame when I think of Billy Wagner. Nah, I don't know what it is. It's just like if I had to give the ball to Billy Wagner or Rob Ninn, for example, I'm probably giving the ball to Rob Ninn.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up because we were having the debate about King Felix, Felix Hernandez. And I love CeCe Sabathia. I told you all the things on the front end. I mean, game for my life, game seven. I'm handing the ball to King Felix over CeCe. And I love CeCe. But part of making the Hall of Fame isn't how great you were over whatever period of time. It's longevity. It's the counting stats. And that's where I think it gets a little murky. You know, like Tim Lincecum's never going to get in the Hall of Fame. I still think he's one of the greatest pitchers in San Francisco Giants history. But I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he'll even get a statue. I think he deserves a statue. But if you get outside of the Bay Area, people will be like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, did he even get 150 wins? Mm-hmm. You know?
No, it's wild. So you look at the Hall of Fame list here. Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe, Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner gets 82.5% of the vote. Carlos Beltran falls just flat at a Hall of Fame, 70%. You need 35% to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Andrew Jones. I saw a quote from Chipper Jones saying if Andrew Jones was a New York Yankee, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He got 66% of the vote. Also, Chase Utley, just 40% of the vote. A-Rod still on the ballot, 37%.
Utley low. Utley was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and Manny Ramirez, 34%. I mean, come on, man.
Utley was one of the premier players at second base for a long
Chase
time.
I love Chase Utley.
Take off our Philly hate, because I know a lot of Giants fans hate the Phillies, and specifically Utley because of the Sanchez stuff. He was awesome.
I love Chase Utley. Loved him.
You feared him like no other, right?
I mean, he would take the first pitch. He could steal bases. He hit for power. He's spicy. I love Chase Utley. Alex Rodriguez, I mean, Manny Ramirez, they're sitting there in the 30s.
Look,
I mean,
people are going to say that I'm crazy. I think Alex Rodriguez is one of the top three most talented players to ever play baseball.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player of all time.
Like, I think he's the greatest shortstop ever.
Pete Rose did too.
You know, I told myself, you know, just about 10 minutes ago that I don't get outraged over the Hall of Fame, and I don't.
What's wrong?
But when I look at it and I'm staring at it in the face, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, 37% of the vote, 34% of the vote. I'm thinking, okay, was it tainted? Was it not? Manny Ramirez possibly, even with Alex Rodriguez right there as a right-handed bat, maybe for my money, maybe the most talented right-handed batter I've ever seen in my life.
Manny Ramirez
was amazing.
He's can't write the history of the game. Think about what he did in Boston. Just Boston. I know Cleveland, he was awesome, too. Think about what he did in Boston. You can't write the history of the game without including him. We can have whatever feelings we want about steroids, like individually. The truth is, like, can you write the history of the game without talking about Man Ram?
Yeah.
He's one of the baddest.
I don't think he can. Andrew Jones has two more years, but no, Manny Ramirez, when he would get in that box, and he just had fun playing the game. I smile when I watch Manny Ramirez.
I totally agree.
555 home runs, over 300 batting average. You talk about his Cleveland years coming in. I mean, 91 games played, 94, 17 jacks, 60 RBIs. Next year, 31 to 107, 33, 112, 26, 88, 45, 145, 44, 165, 38, 122, 41, 125. I mean, come on,
even
man.
Even when he was with the Dodgers, he wasn't bad.
No, when he was with the Dodgers, he was sick.
With number 99.
Yes, he was sick. I had him fantasy baseball. And he got, everybody was trying to trade for him. I remember I was like, nope, he's leading me to the championship. And then I wake up on Yahoo, and it's like, Manny Ramirez, pot for steroids. I'm like, no. And he still tried to play. He tried to play in the minors. Remember he had a Cubs uniform on? He tried to play in the A's training camp.
Yeah, he had an A's jersey at one point.
A's jersey on, dude.
Sweet.
So, Ichiro is a guy that, like, we don't really hear him talk because obviously, you know, for the most part speaks in another language. Though everyone around him says that he speaks perfectly fine English. I can't say that, you know, one way or the other. But when I think of like Ishiro, not a lot of personality, but the play was so intoxicating. It made it awesome to watch. Manny Ramirez, that's the personality all of sports is missing these days. Aloof, goofy, beat. My favorite play of all time that I can't get enough of is when the ball gets hit to center field at Fenway Park, and somehow, some way, he thinks he's the cutoff coming back into the infield, and he cuts it off, and he's like diving to make this cutoff play.
Right.
It's an all-time laugher moment for me.
It's, well, one of my favorite moments is Camden Yards when Manny Ramirez, a double guy, hit off the wall. And he jumps on the wall as he's retrieving the ball and gives a fan a high five.
That was all play. Time. Totally
I mean, come on, man. Manny Ramirez is awesome, man.
He was great for baseball. Was he not?
So 5-1-0, Jeff can't get in, he can't get in. I've fought for Jeff Kent for many years.
That's a joke.
It's not happening. So the Baseball Hall of Fame is what it is. It's why it gets laughed at year in and year out. And it's why I'm driving around yesterday. I was like, oh, they had the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. I remember I used to rush home, go to MLB Network, 3 o'clock, whatever it was, West Coast time. You get Costas, you get Verducci, your favorite. You get all these guys at the MLB panelists talking about the Hall of Fame, Brian Kinney. I had no clue. I was just so aloof to the moment.
The NFL does it so well because it's right before Super Bowl. Yeah. Like they lead, they make it a big thing leading up with all the awards, and they do it the same weekend, the same night. Real quick, you guys were talking about Billy Wagner, and he had, what, 422 saves in his career. So the guys that are on track or have actually
Kenley Jansen.
Yep, Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, I know that.
So Kenley Jansen has 447 saves. Hall of Famer for you guys?
Kenley Jansen, see, to me, even though his body of work is incredible, I don't view him as a Hall of Famer. That being said, I think he's going to get in.
Another guy would be Craig Kimbrell, 440 saves right now. He looks like he's...
The way his career is ending.
So up and down.
Yeah, he's getting rocked a little bit here.
Nine-time All-Star, World Series champion, Rookie of the Year.
What about someone like Papelbon? What did he end up with? Because I don't view Papelbon as a Hall of Famer, but then again, if the numbers are comprehensive...
It is cool.
368 saves for Papelbon, so he didn't hit the 400, but he was a six-time All-Star.
He was great.
Won a World Series, obviously.
He was great.
Seven-time All-Star, Billy Wagner.
Red Sox Hall of Fame.
Billy Wagner became a ninth pitcher in the Hall, was primarily a reliever. The first left-handed reliever in the Hall of Fame, which is cool. I didn't know this about him, though. When I was learning yesterday, he pitched at Tiny Firm College, a D3 school, so he's the first D3 pitcher to make it to Cooperstown. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That is dope. Let's get to skills real quick. And Vallejo, he says he went to high school with CC.
Oh, let's
skills
hear it.
Pays the bills. You went to high school with CC. What the hell are you doing listening to us, Skills?
Vallejo, class 98. Yes, I was right there with Mr. Sabathia. We weren't buddies, but we knew each other.
Yeah.
And I just want to be the first to congratulate him on reaching the Hall of Fame. He certainly deserves it. He was a great human being in addition to being a great three-sport athlete at Vallejo High. Could have been drafted probably in football and basketball, too, if he wanted to take that path. But I want to just tell you guys a couple quick stories about him that hopefully I can tell them in a way that they're interesting, and not one of those you had to be there type stories. The first one was there was one day after, towards the end of class one day, he's in the back of the class, and he's very popular. You know, he has a bunch of people around him, and he had just pitched for Vallejo High the night before. And everyone's talking and laughing and doing their thing, and this girl says to him, asks him if he's pitching that night too. And he goes from laughing and jolly, and this look just goes across his face like, what did she just say to me? And he says, are you crazy? I just threw 109 pitches last night. It's one of those, I guess you had to be there, but it was so freaking funny. and then the second quick story I'll tell you, I actually played one-on-one hoops against him one time back in high school. And he was already 6'7", 250, probably around that time. And I was only 6'2", 220. So we played, and the truth is, he beat me 10-3 easily. I was not even going to be in doubt, but he didn't beat me using his size. He beat me. He bought me like a point guard. He just shook me, dribbled me, took me to the hole over and over again. Now, granted, I was going out of my way not to hurt him because we all knew he was going to get drafted. So I was certainly not going to put hands on him so I could help him, but I don't think that would have made a difference. So he had those kind of skills, even a 6'7", 250, and just, abused me. And, you know, he's like I said, great guy, very popular, very likable, very down to earth, very humble, in spite of everything that was coming to him and he was achieving at Vallejo High. So congratulations again to him. He deserves it.
He's absolutely a guy that I think of when I think of baseball. We need more of guys like him. I'm talking about CeCe.
And he's a good ambassador right now. Yeah. He's still involved in the game.
Absolutely.
That's a good podcast. He's funny. He's talked about his struggles with the alcohol, and he's done a good job of cleaning that up. I love CeCe Sabathia, man.
Did you hear his cereal issue? Let's get to it on the other side.
Yeah, he had a big cereal issue. He's a big boy. We all had a cereal issue at some point.
I still have a cereal issue.
Baby Chez is in a Honey Nut cereal. I moved off of cereal. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. By the way, it's Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Fun guest list coming up, and that's, we'll reveal that on the other side, brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
All right, Draymond, he won't be there tonight. Boy, long injury list for the Golden State Warriors. No Draymond, no Jonathan Kuminga, no Brandon Podziemski. Steph Curry is cleared to play the front end of the back-to-back, but if he does play tonight, he probably will not play tomorrow. So we'll get to the Warriors and the Dubs. Or Warriors of the Kings, I should say, in the 7 o'clock hour. That will be coming up. Kyle Draper, of course, at 7:30. 7:30 on the River Islands guest line. Anthony Slater, 8:30 on the River Islands guest line. Also, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. 95-70 game knockout tournament is back as well. January 27th, it'll go for 3 weeks to qualification to participate and shoot some shots at Chase Center to win a knockout tournament. Second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament. Listen in the 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour starting Monday, January 27th for your chance. Each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. More details are still to come on how to win. All right. Back to the Hall of Fame. We'll get to Jimmy in Dublin in just a second because he says he also went to high school with CeCe Sabathia. It must have been fun, the larger-than-life character.
Yeah, it must have been. You know, it's one thing that I was saying to you at the break, and I believe this to my core now. Look, we could argue about the lowering of the thresholds and the numbers and the metrics and, you know, how are you going to weigh pitching moving forward when it comes to, you know, the starters not qualifying for enough wins and coming out of games in the fifth inning. And there's an entire Pandora's box of how you got to measure the current era. And I get back to Buster Posey. And if you just look at his career, I'm talking about the regular season, which is normally how they weigh these things. You know, most people say that are voting for it, say that, yeah, that postseason factors in, but it can't outweigh the body of work of the regular season. I mean, most people, if you just took out all the championships, which I know you can't, but that's what they do, his numbers aren't that impressive. Buster Posey's, that is. I don't know if he gets in 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I think he's one of those guys that sits on the ballot for a long time. Maybe he gets in at the end. In this modern way that we're doing things, I think he's getting in first ballot.
Mm.
I really do. And that's not a knock on Buster at all. I'm just saying I think the way we view eras, the players, the standards for getting in, I don't think the thresholds are as difficult as they once were.
Do you also think it helps to be friendly with the media?
How can it be bad?
Yeah, because
I don't think CeCe Sabathia, if CeCe Sabathia doesn't pitch in New York, if CeCe Sabathia isn't just a great guy that everybody roots for, you know, I don't think he gets in on the first ballot. When you were watching, like, I love CeCe, I want to make this very clear, but when you were watching him, did you think first ballot Hall of Famer?
I didn't.
Now, that doesn't take anything away.
I thought Hall of Famer. I was like, hey, I think he could make the Hall of Fame with his numbers. Agree. First ballot Hall of Famer? No, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that. And even when I think about football, Terrell Davis is the perfect example. Great running back. Had a great 4-year stretch.
That's crazy.
Got to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And there's no doubt in my mind that being on NFL Network and being on television over and over and over, with your accolades being shown left and right, that expedited his process to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But when I look at Roger Craig's career over Terrell Davis, and I'm just taking Roger Craig, I'm not even being a homer here, I'm thinking Roger Craig had a better career.
Yes.
He had more Super Bowl rings as well and was and set the trend and the template for all these thousand running backs, you know, when you get 1,000-yard receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. Roger Craig was the first to ever do it and made the 80s all-decade team in a decade that had a slew of great running backs. Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett. The list goes on and on and on. So I do think with Buster Posey, and look, I've bet him before. I'm sure you've bet him. He's a great guy. He's a good dude. He treats the media well. I think that will help him being involved with the Giants, being in baseball. I think it will help his voting in the Baseball Hall of Fame, where if somebody's on the fence, they're like, you know what? Buster's a good representation of what baseball is all about. I'm just going to vote.
Absolutely.
And so I do think, yeah, to your point, he's getting in no matter what.
Like, because you and I have talked about this. I mean, I feel like we've had this conversation 1,000 times. Thurman Munson, just go look at the numbers. Now, Posey played a couple extras. Thurman passed away.
Yeah, Thurman passed away in an airplane.
But like Thurman Munson, he had some of the team accolades and very comparable numbers is what I would say. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he has any shot of ever getting in. Unless, obviously the Veterans Committee could one day maybe vote him in, but it's crazy.
Man,
if Thurman Munson had that exact same career now, he might get in.
Nah, I mean, Thurman Munson, I didn't know about Thurman Munson until The Bronx Is Burning, the ESPN show,
so good.
Back in the mid-2000s. And then so I used to go down a rabbit hole and pull up old YouTube videos of who Thurman Munson was.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buds and who he is and what he was all about. And I'm thinking, well, he's not in. Then you get to Jorge Posada. What about Jorge Posada, who had a great resume, was one of the captains for the New York Yankees, one of the core four. You know, Bernie Williams, Jeter, Pettit, Jorge Posada. Well, Bernie Williams is in. Derek Jeter's in. What about Jorge Posada?
I think he should be in.
So, I mean,
his career, when you look at him, and now Veritek to a lesser degree, when you just look at the numbers, and I know there are people who say, it was a steroid era, and he was never the top dog. Bro, there's no way the Yankees win any of their championships without Posada. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. He was such a great player. A great player. And then Veritek to a lesser degree. Veritek had a great career. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about Jason. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But I'm just saying, if you're looking at numbers and longevity and all these things, man, it is interesting how the thresholds have now changed. Now, it gets me to like King Felix. There was a point in time I thought King Felix was the best pitcher in baseball. I would put him on a short list of guys who, for a 5-year window, kind of like Kovacs, where it's like, I hand him the ball, he's giving up one run and probably throwing 8 or 9 innings. And, like, can the offense score him a run? Like, a run? Would the guy go, like, 10-10 with a 1.7 ERA
his
one year?
Are stupid. I may
he was so good. But the numbers, like, I don't know if the young people, like, who are in their 20s are going to know about him like that.
Maybe not. I mean, I may have had him on fantasy baseball teams like 6 times over the course of his career. Like, I love the guy. The diamond earring.
So sick.
Swagger, Kings Court, the Safeco Field, or formerly known as Safeco Field. I think it's called T-Mobile Park now. But 169 wins, 3.42 ERA. Doesn't have the win totals that some may say, but, you know, wins are not as valued as highly.
Yeah.
He's got the 2,500 strikeouts, 25-24, put his entire career in Seattle. He retired kind of early at 33, but you could tell the stuff was kind of waning there later on in his career. His ERA kept going up and up and up. But look at his first 10 years of his career. I'm just going to pull this up because the last four, 4.63 ERA, 5.02 ERA,
he
lost it, 5.10. So he didn't pitch well in his 30s. His 30 years, from 30 to 34, he was awful. But from 19 to 29, I'm looking at his ERA, his highest ERA that during that stretch was 3.91. 3.91. All right? I mean, this guy was unbelievable. So from the age of 19 to 29, Felix Rodriguez, he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
He was.
3.11 ERA, 143 wins. So he only registered 13 wins in his last 4 years. So it didn't end well for him. Did not end well for him. And he suffered 35 losses during that stretch as well, those last 4 years. And maybe that kind of tweaked his Hall of Fame trajectory, and baseball voters said, you know what, wasn't good enough because he didn't pitch into his 30s, where you see CeCe Sabathia, he pitched 19 years.
And there's something to be said for longevity.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But 2,142 strikeouts during that stretch from 19 to 29, he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, but I get why he is being left out now after diving deeper into the numbers here. It didn't end well his last 4 years. From 30, 31, 32, 33, we see him pitchers pitch very well in their 30s, and he didn't.
There's like a 5-year period for him, Lincecum. Pedro, earlier, there are certain guys like Verlander, and Verlander's getting in, but like some of these guys were just automatic. I'm giving up one, maybe two runs, and I'm going into the eighth, and I'm handing the ball to the closer, and we have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is, we talk about aces in baseball. There's something to be said for those guys.
No doubt.
And he got caned a lot in his career.
He did. Jimmy in Dublin, real quick,
hey,
before we hit the break. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing, man?
What's all up, good.
Yeah, so look, before I get into the high school thing, I just want to say, you guys said that you didn't think of CeCe Sabathia as the first ballot. But, like, how not, man? It's only two left-hand pitchers in MLB history outside of him that has more wins and more strikeouts than him. And well, that was, what, Randy Johnson and Steve Carlton. So, I mean, that right there is huge history, man. So, you know, I mean, I always thought, and there's not no homer thing with me, I always thought, man, I'm like, yeah, he's first ballot for sure. But anyway, moving along, though, man, on that I remember I moved from Vallejo, man. I was in the 9th grade getting ready to go to El Cerrito High School. I was ready to play high school with Drew Gooden at El Cerrito. And we had big plans, man, to really, really do it big. And I remember we moved from Richmond to Vallejo right before I was ready to start high school. So then we moved to Vallejo. In Vallejo, 9th grade, you're still in junior high. So that right there, I'm like, what? So then I get over to Vallejo High the next year, which is directly across the street. I get over there. I don't know nobody, the coach, nobody. So, you know, I go to tryouts, and before I can even step into tryouts, Coach Vic Wallace is like, we pretty much already got our team. And I'm like, I mean, I can't even get – didn't even give me a shot, bro. I promise you, didn't give me a shot. So I ended up seeing who was on the team, And you got, I don't know if you guys remember, Wesley Wilson. He went to Georgetown out of Vallejo High. He was like 6'11". CeCe Sabathia was on that team. Brandon Armstrong, he went to Pepperdine. He was first-round draft pick. He went like that number 20 in the draft.
Pardon me, that Vallejo High School basketball team would like play for state, right? Or like they were really good, right?
They went 31-2 that year at CCG in 98, and both of their losses was to St. Joe's.
St. Joe's, because that game was on – that game may have been on television, television.
He said he was third all-time in wins for a lefty. That's not accurate. And I'm not trying to parse it. Maybe it was at a certain period, but like Tom Glavine, Randy Johnson are just two off the top of my head he didn't reference.
Yep.
I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm just saying like that stat's a little off. All right.
831 says he's trying to find a point spread on the Warriors against the Kings tonight. Apparently they're plus 6.5, but we will break and have that on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you and here for good.
I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
This segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLover.com. We'll get into some basketball. We got a lot of basketball. It's going to be a basketball-heavy show. So, Dub Nation, get ready. 888-957-9570. These could be percolating. 650 real quick said, did you guys hear that Phoenix is stirring up a huge trade? Can we be involved? Well, Phoenix is stirring up some huge things because last night, Phoenix traded their lone 2031 first-round pick to the Utah Jazz for some pick swaps here, and they're trying to get the picks so they can send them down to Miami to go get Jimmy Butler. But who could be out of Phoenix? Who could be coming into Phoenix? Will KD be on the move? Bradley Beal, we know, will probably be on the move. But what about Kevin Durant? What is going on in Phoenix?
I would love a KD reunion. Can I ask you a question? Kind of kicking this around. Just a sportsy question, okay? Do you make a distinction between first ballot Hall of Famer and regular Hall of Famer?
For the most part, I don't. But when a guy, I'll take T.O., for example, Terrell Owens.
Use the same example. Keep going.
When he doesn't get first ballot Hall of Famer, and I remember arguing with Pop about this a lot, because Randy Moss did get first ballot Hall of Famer, and Moss and Owens were like 1-2 for so long.
I totally agree.
And I thought T.O. was the more complete wide receiver. Now, Randy Moss, take the top off the defense, explosive.
They were both great.
But
yeah, I agree.
T.O. taking 5-yard quick slants to the house, just like Moss, and his run blocking, his physicality, a 3-down wide receiver.
Every
round. And would play anywhere, anytime. I never questioned whether or not T.O. was playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss, we had questions. Is he playing hard? Did he quit today? Did he not quit? What's going on with Randy? And they dropped T.O. And they dropped T.O. because the media didn't like him. People who didn't play the game got to dictate whether or not he was a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So he did it at Tennessee Chattanooga. And I don't blame him for doing that. So when the guy doesn't get first ballot, I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, this guy got first ballot. And that now, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer. When you get introduced,
of course.
Hey, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, of Hall of Famer. But I really don't care unless somebody who is a first ballot Hall of Famer doesn't get first ballot Hall of Famer. Then it's like, wait a minute, what? What?
Well, we'll get to the Warriors, but like, and basketball's so different because everyone gets in, but like, Steph Curry, first ballot Hall of Famer. Draymond and Klay Thompson, Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
And that's not a slight. Like, dude, this is, we're talking about incredible company. Right. And so, it's just interesting because like, we do this thing, like, Billy Wagner was on the last year of eligibility. And he's a Hall of Famer. Whether he got in the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth, it doesn't matter. He's a Hall of Famer. Now, people will come up and say, what changed? He hasn't thrown a pitch in the last couple of years. Well, they have rules of like you can only put 10 on and blah, 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 blah. But I do make a distinction. As we celebrated the life of Ricky Henderson, Ricky Henderson, first ballot Hall of Famer. No one's arguing that.
No.
Like, at all. I believe Verlander will be a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. I believe Clayton Kershaw will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I love Buster Posey. I don't think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he should be a Hall of Famer, but I don't think, and I don't think that's a knock.
Yep.
But I make a distinction, and I think that people lose their minds one way or the other. And to me, it's just a fun little argument when we talk about sports. Eli's going to get in. You talked about Eli Manning.
And he may get in first ballot, which I don't think is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Exactly.
I thought he was in a Hall of very good. How many times did he lead the league in interceptions? Eli got to two Super Bowls, but and he made some great throws during that Super Bowl run.
No doubt.
But when I think of those two New York Giant teams, I think of the defensive line. I think of the helmet catch.
Exactly.
I think of Plaxico. I think of Brandon Jacobs. I think of Ahmad Bradshaw. Mario Manningham's catch. Eli was fine.
He was, yeah.
But was he the catalyst for those Super Bowl wins?
That's kind of how I feel. It's interesting because baseball kind of always held itself as like our standards are the most difficult to reach.
We're the most prestigious.
Right. It was very snooty. I mean, it just was. And I've seen over the years, like to me, like Scott Rowland's a guy like, okay, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, but Harold Baines. And there's a lot of different guys that have gone in over the last couple of years where I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, like, they're kind of lowering their thresholds, which is fine. I'm actually okay with that. Todd Helton's a great example. I think Todd Helton is the greatest Rocky of all time. Now, Larry Walker might have been the most talented of all the Rockies to play, but when I think of the Rockies, I think of Todd Helton. I think he should be in. They should get representation, you know? So I find it to be always interesting this time of year. We kind of lose our minds and we go crazy, but I just look at like the recent inductees and I'm like, wait a minute. David Ortiz went in and the doors of heaven of the Hall of Fame just swung wide open for this guy. And we know he was on all the Mitchell reports. Yeah. Yvonne Rodriguez, who to me, they are Hall of Famers. They're in. Those two are in. But Gary Sheffield and Bonds and Manny.
Did Fred McGriff get into Veterans Committee?
Are you kidding me?
Fred McGriff finally got into Veterans Hall of Fame, right?
I thought Fred McGriff was one of the baddest dudes on the planet for a decade.
Well, for the 90s.
He was amazing.
When I was a kid, and the Giants will play the Padres, and later on the Braves, and you're like, oh, snap.
Crime dog.
McGriff's coming up in three at-bats.
Exactly.
Oh, snap. Get out of this inning. Fred McGriff's in the on-deck circle. Oh, snap. The bases are juiced for Fred McGriff. Oh, no. What's going to happen here? And he had the most iconic ESPN career. So, hands one of the more iconic ones with the old late-night baseball clinic videos. Remember that? Fred McGriff in his little T-shirt with the guns. And then when he got – I was in Camp Mendocino when he was a Padre. And I remember coming back from Kent Mendocino as a 10-year-old in 93 when the Giants won 103 games and didn't make the playoffs.
The whole thing.
I came back, and the first thing I had, pink eye and everything, my grandma knew, hey, have a Sporting Green ready for me as a 10-year-old. I opened up the paper, where are the Giants at? And I'm like, Fred McGriff's on the Atlanta Braves? What the hell is going on? What's going on here? He swung this race, literally swung the race. And so, but yet he's not a Hall of Famer. So I don't, you know, I gave up on having any emotion for it.
No, I hear you.
I don't like lose sleep over it. That's why yesterday when the announcement came, and I'm looking at my emails like Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. What is this, spam?
Well, here's what
I had no idea. I've checked out of it.
Well, one thing that I've said for like, I don't know, maybe a decade or more, I'm never going to take my family to Cooperstown.
I probably will one day.
I don't know if you know this, but like, I'm sure you do. But like, there's Little League, right? The Little League World Series. And then there's pony style baseball, which is you can take leads and stuff. Mm-hmm. And in pony, you go to Cooperstown. And there's, you know, different age brackets and whatnot. But that's like the big rage when you're about 12 years old. If you're not in the Little League circuit, meaning the Little League World Series circuit. Again, it's two different styles of play. I'll explain it later on down the line. But you go to Cooperstown, and a bunch of kids I know are in that 11, 12-year-old bracket, and they're all going to go to Cooperstown this summer. SF Senators have a team. Yep. I know my buddy Mike Tersey and Sam Bruno and all those boys down there, the Mud Dogs, I believe, or the Mud Cats, whatever they're called. He's going to text me any second. They're going to Cooperstown. We got a Flame team. My buddy Scott, he's taking those kids. I'm going to take LJ someday to Cooperstown. I am. Like, I admit it. And it is going to suck that there are all these Bonds things at Cooperstown and no Bonds plaque. That does suck.
It sucks, but I'll still go because baseball. Like, I'm not the biggest. Like, I like hockey. I do.
Okay.
I'm a novice when it comes to knowing about hockey. But one of my coolest experiences as a sports fan was walking around in Toronto. I had some time to kill before. Yeah. I think it was NBA Finals Game 5. And I was like, all right, let me knock this Hall of Fame out. Maybe Game 4. Game 2, I don't remember, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to the museum and I can't find it. There's like these little plaques of Hall of Fame. I'm like, how do I get into the Hockey Hall of Fame? Like, oh, you got to go downstairs. And the way you have it, it's in this mall. It's in the mall, right? And you're going in this mall in Toronto and they have like, you know, jerseys randomly in these cases. Yeah. I'm like, that's their Hall of Fame? And I was like, no, kid, got to go downstairs. So I go downstairs and I want to go back because I felt like I haven't seen everything. I got stuck in the Gretzky Howe segment of the Hall of Fame. I was like, damn, this is sick. Then they had the Montreal Canadiens locker room and all their great gear and the jerseys. Then you got all the different hockey masks. I must have took a million pictures in there. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to go to every single Hall of Fame. Because it is special to learn about the history of the sport, how the sport evolved, whether it's the ice skate, the face mask, the leg pads, the shoulder pads, whatever it is, the jerseys, the different jackets they wore, the ice, everything about it. So, yeah, going to Cooperstown, I think it put a lot of smiles on a lot of people's faces for going there. Because, yeah, sure, Barry Bonds won't be there. He'll be admitted. But I'll go, just like the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'll go. The Basketball Hall of Fame, we were going to go during the NBA Finals, but Springfield was a little out there. I was like, you know what? We had a long flight. Let's chill.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go there one day, and I won't even be sad about it. It'll be fun.
How do you, like in any sport, how do you determine your, and we're going to pivot back to the Warriors here in a little bit, but what's your determination? Because my little like elevator pitch on Hall of Fame is, can I write the history of the game?
Yeah.
Or can I write the history of an organization without your inclusion? Because to me, the Hall is doing the duty of also, not just the nation, but each individual team. Like so at some point, the Marlins deserve someone in there representing the Marlins team,
you would think, but you got to have players who are there for a long time.
You do.
Jeff Conine was, I think of him as one of the Mr. Marlin, but he wasn't a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, I know. You know? But Miguel Cabrera and like, there's got to be
somebody. He's a tiger. You want to talk about Dontrelle Willis? He probably won't get to the Hall of Fame, but he moved around. He had his best years in Florida, no doubt, but didn't put together their history there. So I don't. When I think of the Hall of Fame, it has to be, can I talk about this player? Did this player have an impact in a year, a decade for that organization, on and off the field? Sure. Like, I can't write the history of the game without Barry Bonds. I can't write the history of the game without Manny Ramirez. I can't write it without Gary Sheffield. Can't write it without Alex Rodriguez or Roger Clemens. Are you kidding me? So that is a joke, but that is kind of the criteria for the Hall of Fame.
No doubt. No, there's no doubt about it. And I don't know, I come back to what Dave Fleming said about Matt Chapman earlier this year. He's building a Hall of Fame resume. I disagree with Dave on that. But that being said, like, Buster Posey... And then what? Like, do the Giants have, look, like, down the pikes? Like, it's pretty barren.
I like Matt Chapman a lot.
I do, too.
I think he's a long way away from the Hall of Fame.
Monte.
I mean, come on. We got it. Like, he's got to be a perennial all-star first before we start talking about
that. I would agree with. Now, like, let's chill. One of the great gloves at the position is right. One thing, but you've also got to have prerequisite moments, and you've got to do it year after year after year. I mean, again, we're talking about Ichiro, 10 consecutive gold gloves, 10 consecutive 200-hit seasons.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
10.
I
mean,